That's me and Patrick's code for you did good today. It was good. We're so grateful and for you, Patrick. And this is his last Sunday with us for a while. He's getting married and moving to Texas. And I know. We're excited, Patrick. We really are. We've been together for a while. And Lisa, come down here and stand beside him. He needs moral support. I'm just so proud of Patrick and the way I've known him before he came here to Grace when he was at the river up in Judsonia, up north of here. And I saw Patrick. And, you know, it's funny. You see that. You want to know the integrity of a ship? Watch it in a storm. And that'll reveal a ship's integrity, you know, when you shake it up. And, Patrick, I've seen you go through storms. And you did good, and you're still here, and you're doing good. And now I'm so excited. He's marrying a young lady named Alexis, and in Texas, and she has a little boy named Oscar, and we're all for her. And that's as much as I can rhyme. I'm excited. I got to know Lexi and praying with her, and it's like she's a great girl, and it's and. What a great addition you are to our family. And so we at Grace, we just want to say thank you, Patrick. I mean, we're sad you're going, but we're glad you're going because God's doing something new in that family and in your life, and it's going to be good, you know. And so we're really excited about it. And so we want to pray for him before and send him off with a blessing. Like I saw him smile a few times as some of you guys walked in this morning that he hasn't seen in a while. And you made Patrick smile. Do you notice he tried to avert his eyes because he didn't want to get emotional? And I'm like, he quit looking at you. As soon as he smiled, he looked the other way. And I'm like, Patrick. So if you want to, I lost it. No, I didn't. Several people wanted to give to you and Lexi and your family. And so this is a gift from people here at Grace. It has a nice card. And it's cash. If you still would like to give to Patrick, you can mark it, give online or mark it and put it in the box, and we'll make sure he gets it, okay? But so come here in the middle, Patrick, right here in the very middle, if you don't mind. Yeah, I was going to say, you're a brave soul. And I know, I can't even say how many, but if you want to come up and lay hands on Patrick with us, we're going to pray for him and send him off, okay? Go ahead. Y'all can go all the way around him. It's a big deal. The support that, Patrick, you've given to all of us and leading us into worship, and everyone here is for you. And we send you away with blessings, Patrick. So let's pray for him. Let's just, y'all pray, you pray, and then I'll pray and close us in a second. One King. God, I just thank you for the strength that's being shared right now with Patrick. For every one of us, we just bless him and we bless the new family and we bless his son and his wife and God, all that you're going to do in his life. Well, God, we speak peace into every part of Patrick's life, that God, that the storms he's gone through that made him strong, that God, that he rose above so many things in his life, God. God, we just know that this is his first step into a new day and a new beginning. God, that he can expect great things from you in this trip. So, Father, we, as you're his people that love him, we just bless him right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hug him and don't take his money. So, history makers, we have your team, Mr. James and Miss Lisa at the back door. Children, you are dismissed. You're going to have a great day today. I know what they're teaching, and it's really good. they've been going through Old Testament, critical Old Testament stories that are good. Whew. Patrick, thank you. Thank you for years that you've led us and you've served the body so well. And you've served your friends well. And I mean, other than the guy you're taking advantage of that you get to play come play bass. But everybody else, you serve well, Patrick. You do good. Easter. I guess we never get off of Easter, do we? What's the big deal? The most celebrated holiday in the history of the world for 2,000 years around the globe in places that don't have electricity in the fanciest cathedrals in the world, they celebrate Easter. And I just want us to look at, because I believe that what happened at Easter, you know, I think a lot of times we get focused on the cross and the crucifixion, right? But you know, the cross was never the end goal for God. That wasn't the end goal. That was a stepping stone to God's purpose. But it wasn't the end of it. The truth is, the resurrection, the incarnation of Christ, and the resurrection was His end goal from the very, very beginning. And I believe that when you look at the resurrection, and you see it's all about Christ being in you. It's like Paul said in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That the resurrection, the incarnation, literally incarnation means divinity inside of humanity, with humanity. Like God and Jesus were one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all in Jesus. And so we need to remember that. Everything you look at Jesus did was really about the resurrection. Now, there's a journey to experience the resurrection. Like, and we're going to go through some of the steps of His journey, but Jesus had to go through a process, through steps, to get to the place where He experienced the power of God raising Him from the dead. All the demons in hell couldn't hold Jesus in that grave, could they? And do you know the same thing's true for you and me today? That because of what He did, the resurrection that He experienced, you and I have in our lives today. And what we want to do is, let's don't miss it. Let's don't spend our whole life on earth not experiencing the power of God's resurrection inside of us. And so I want to talk about those steps today and what happened. And because you know, the truth is, last week we talked about Luke 14 that Jesus told a parable about a very rich man who was throwing a feast, a party for everybody in town. And he sent out the invitations, right? In Luke 14, you see it, because he wanted everybody to come to the party. He provided the food. He provided the entertainment. He provided everything. You just had to say yes and come. And the story goes in Luke 14, everybody he sent invitations to made up excuses. They were too busy. They had things going on. They had family in. They had a job. They had new equipment they had to use and make sure it worked. They all had reasons for not coming to the party. And the rich man said, listen to his servant. He said, go out and bring the poor. Bring the street people. Bring the addicts. Bring the broken people. Invite them to come into the party. And Jesus told them before, He said, guys, if you're having a party, don't just invite people who can invite you back. And so they went out and they invited the poor and the lame and the broken and the hurting and the destitute and the homeless. And there was still room. He said, go invite everyone. And so the truth is, when you look at what Jesus talks about, do you know the Bible says that for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross? And there's a principle there that's a life principle that'll do us all good. Even if you're not a Christian, it'll do you good to live by this principle. You have a goal. You have an objective. You have a purpose. And there's steps you take to get to your purpose. And it doesn't just fall from heaven. That's not what happens. Jesus had a plan. God had a plan. And from the very beginning, His plan was one thing. He had an end goal in mind, and it was the resurrection. which opened the door for something to happen that was God's greatest joy. You know, in John chapter, I was going to read this. That's really true. I love that. I love the cross. But I want to look at this verse, John chapter 16, verse 5. Here we go. "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me where you are going." You know, at the end of Jesus' life on earth, his disciples, they knew, because he kept talking about it. "Guys, I know y'all are excited. You think I'm going to set up an earthly kingdom and we're going to be the boss and we're going to be the elite and we're going to be the royalty in that kingdom?" That's what they thought. And Jesus kept telling them something different. He was like, "Guys, I'm here to serve, not be served. I'm here to give. I'm here to lay my life down for others. It's not about me." And he kept telling them. Then he started telling them, "Guys, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the cross." And then he said this, "Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." You see, there was a purpose in that part of Jesus' journey. The cross was part of the journey, and it was painful, and it was horrible, and it was tragic. In the history of the world, it's tragic. The best person who's ever lived, they killed him, they tortured him, and they hung him on a cross to die. That's tragic, but that wasn't God's goal. He told us his goal. He said, "Guys, I have to go, because if I don't go, Holy Spirit can't come." You see, God's purpose from the beginning, before the world was created, before the foundation of the world, his purpose was to live inside of you, to live in flesh. Jesus came to earth so that he could offer his flesh to his Father. And the truth is, that's what God's purpose is. You see, I think sometimes we have our eyes on the wrong goal. Jesus had a goal, and you couldn't knock him off of it. The disciples, even remember when Peter said, "Jesus, Jesus, no, 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 you're not going to the cross." And then Jesus turned around and said, "Get behind me, Satan. Nothing will stop me from the purpose of my life that God has for my life. Because my purpose is to lay down my life so that the Holy Spirit, so God himself can come inhabit your flesh." You see, God's home. He was homesick for you. And some of you remember when you gave your life to Jesus and you invited him in your heart, and we just sang the song. It's like you remember the presence of God that came on you and came inside of you. And that was, he was longing for home, this home. And every human that's ever been born was born with one purpose, and that's to be a habitation for the very God of the universe, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have had one thing they've longed for, and that's to live in your heart, to do life in your skin. And I think we get caught up in the crucifixion, and we don't realize the crucifixion was just part of the path that led to the resurrection, which led to what Jesus said in John 16. "Unless he goes away, the counselor will not come to you." So I believe that unless I go away, you see, that was the cross. That was what's going to happen on Friday, right? Good Friday's coming. The cross was going to happen. But it was a part of the path that he took and that God picked for him. And Peter had a hard time with it, right? The disciples couldn't understand it. But you have to understand, what was God's end goal? What was his purpose? The ultimate goal of his life was to become one with us. And that happened at the resurrection. Now, what does that mean? No longer the path that Jesus took, right? You think about his path. It began what? It began before time began in God's heart, but physically on earth, it began when Mary said what to the angel? the angel, right? Gabriel came and said, Mary, listen, I have this great plan. You're engaged to be married, but I want to get you pregnant before you get married. Is that a good one? Right? I mean, who volunteers for that? But the day Mary said yes, the day she said yes to God, His Spirit, for the first time in human history, was able to come and dwell inside of human flesh. Like Mary was carrying the Son of God in her womb. And you see, the same thing happens to us. The very first time you say yes to Him, His Spirit moves inside of you. And you begin carrying God in you, the same as Mary carried God in her. And I look at that and I say, you know, God, when Mary had that baby, and I love babies, and they're just so cool, and I'm going to talk more about them next week, but when Mary was holding the baby, when she had that baby, and the first time they took the child and they laid him in her arms, and she looked down, and she looked into the face of God. And I know Mary didn't think this way, but in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, that's what God looks like. He looks like a baby, a helpless baby. But you see, that path, the path God chose for humanity, for His presence to come to earth, was every one of ours conception. When you were conceived, God had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you. He has a destiny for you. He longs to live inside of you. And Jesus was that for Mary. And so I think about those things, you know, for the first time, because in the Old Testament, you see God revealing Himself in types and in shadows and in stories and in analogy. And you see Him revealing Himself in these broad pictures. And, you know, He walks by the cleft in the rock and He shows His back. And you know, but the truth is, you didn't see God. But now, every time you look at another human in this room, you see God because God lives in them. So you see a face of God. You see someone because here's what happens. And so with Mary, it's like we call Him Emmanuel, right? Jesus was prophesied 350 prophecies about Christ coming, I think, in the Old Testament. He fulfilled them all. He was Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we celebrate that at Christmas when we celebrate Jesus' birth. It was God with us. Through Christ, through Jesus Christ, God revealed to humanity what He looked like. And later in the New Testament, you know, in Hebrews it's written, when you see Jesus, you've seen God. Jesus said it to His disciples when they asked Him, show us God, that'll be enough, just show us God. He said, well, you've seen Me. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You see, salvation was because the incarnation of God, God becoming man through Jesus Christ, was essential for our salvation. He came and He lived a sinless life and He laid down His life for us so that we could be redeemed and set free from the bondage to the enemy. You see, without the incarnation, without God becoming man, it never happened. The incarnation, I think about that word and I think, you know, we don't even know what that means. It's a real simple word. It just means divinity becoming humanity. And when I look at you guys, I read this word somewhere. I said, that's a good word. You know what divinity really becoming humanity looks like? It looks like you. It looks like me. Because divinity came in and lived inside of Jesus His whole life. Well, guess what happens when you follow Him? When you say yes to Him, divinity now lives in your flesh. And so if you want to see what Jesus looks like, look in the mirror. Because He lives in you. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three live inside of you. And so God's end goal was becoming one with us. That's unbelievable. That's something I think about all the time. Jesus revealed humans' destiny. Do you know that? Jesus revealed our destiny. All of our destiny is to live. Your destiny is to live in union with God the same as Jesus was. It's not to imitate Jesus, not to imitate His actions, not to live in some moralistic code. Your purpose is to live in union with the living God. And it happens when you ask him in, when you say yes to him, his purpose starts happening. John 14, 15. I'm going to read through verse 20 here. Read along with me. It's very important words. It's, if you love me, keep my commands. Another way to read that, which I think is more accurate, is if you're keeping my commands, it's because you love me. It's because your relationship with me, you're going to behave this way. You're going to look this way. You're going to love. You're going to be patient. You're going to be kind. You're going to see healings, physical healings, emotional healings. When you love me, here's what it looks like, guys. And he told us that. And he lived it out for us. He said, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Does anybody in this room besides me need help? Come on. You do. I need the supernatural power of God in my life to keep me stable, to give me joy, to give me wisdom, to give me energy, to give me the ability to say no and to say yes. That comes from my relationship with God. I need him, right? And so Jesus said, I'm sending somebody to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see, you're not ever alone. When you say yes to God, you're never alone anymore. He is with you, inseparable. You cannot separate him from you. It's his doing, not yours. And since he does it, you can't undo it, and neither can I. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. See, Jesus was saying real clear, guys, this is how it happens. This is God's plan, and I'm doing his plan because I'm going away. But because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. Alan, how can you tell me God lives in me? Because I believe the Scripture. I've experienced his presence. I've seen him change things that nothing in the world could change. You see, Jesus wants to live inside of you, and it's because he lives, you're going to live. Well, he was resurrected. You see, Easter's about the resurrection. It's about him living. And on that day, you know what day that happens for us? With Jesus, and it'll happen 1,000 times in your life. If you want Jesus involved in your life, it involves 1 3-letter word, yes. You mean that's it? Yes. What's the word again? Yes. Y'all know that song? I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. It's a great song. You want to have the power of God in your life? Say yes. Well, I can't say yes. Yes, you can. Look, yes. I should be a speech therapist, right? Yes. Yes. If that was a bad hand signal, I apologize. It might have been. I don't know hand signals. Yes. Yeah, but I need a miracle. Say yes. I need joy. Say yes. I need deliverance. Say yes. I need peace. Say yes. I need my future. Say yes. You want to experience the power of the resurrection, all you have to do is say yes, because Jesus has already done it for you. He's already done everything. He said this. He's like, and the world can't accept him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He made that decision. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to experience every good and perfect gift. He wants you to have the same ending in your life, the same purposes that he had. He had peace his whole life. Even in the biggest storm he ever went through, the man had peace. Even he had joy, even in the life he struggled through, everything any of us ever struggled through, Jesus struggled through. And he had joy, and he had peace, and he had the hope for the future, and he believed in who he was because of who Jesus, God, was. You see, there's a way to live this life and to live life well. And it comes from one place, saying yes to him. On that day, when you say yes, you will realize, you'll experience, you'll understand, you'll have manifesting inside of your life. It's so funny to me how we don't all do it, but I mean, our world is infatuated with horror movies and with the demonic and all that stuff. And like, if somebody manifested a demon up here in front of this right now, every one of you'd get chill bumps, right? The hair on the back of your neck would stand up, and you'd be like, when you get home, you'd be talking about the demon that manifested. Because you saw it and you knew it was supernatural. Well, do you know that God wants to manifest in you? He wants to manifest in you. That means Patrick, when I was talking about Patrick earlier, is a good example. I mean, he's not perfect. God love a duck. He's not perfect. But I've seen God manifest in him in a storm before. I wasn't making that up. Do you know that if, no matter what storm you're going through, there's a solid anchor you can put your life in, and it involves saying yes. Now, you know what? Jesus' yes began in heaven before he ever came to the world. And then we got to see him go through a process for 33 years before he experienced the ultimate resurrection in his life. You see, there's steps that we go through, and we're going to talk about those next week. The steps that we go through, because we go through the same process Jesus went through. And how do you do that victoriously? How do you do that in triumph? How do you do that and still live your best life and conquer the darkness? See, on that day, you'll realize, you'll experience that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I am in you. Game over. When we get there, it's game over. Money won't matter anymore. History won't matter anymore. Your physical body won't matter anymore. Nothing will matter anymore when you get there. You'll have a peace beyond understanding that money can't buy. You see, and that's where we're going. I believe that's just what we're learning. And so really, Jesus revealed to us, he revealed to us, our destiny is to live in union with God. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And your destiny, now you can enjoy that destiny. You can participate. You can have a wonderful time, because Jesus is a party waiting to happen, even when you're tough. You can either go to the party, or you can wait and enjoy that destiny when you die and you're out of this place. You see, God wants us to live there now. He wants you to enjoy the party right now. So I'm sort of excited about this. The hour's come for the Son of Man to be glorified. You see, the hardest thing you'll ever face in your life is actually an opportunity for the greatest victory you'll ever experience. That's what Jesus was telling those guys. Guys, listen, this isn't bad. This is good. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to get beat to death. I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to hell. And it's a great thing, because Jesus understood that the journey he was on was leading to a victory. You see, unless the hour's come for the Son of Man to be glorified, Jesus knew, guys, I'm going to lay down my life. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed. Your yes happens always in the middle of storms. Always. That's where it matters. And if you'll say yes, and 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 you'll say yes, it'll produce a harvest in your life that'll be glorious. That'll be amazing. That'll make people stand back and go, wow. You see, Jesus lived that way. And he's going to show us. He modeled for us how to live that way. Your yes changes everything. You know, Jesus' entire life was about the harvest. It was for the joy set before him. And his greatest joy is being in you. Now, I'd make fun of us because I'm thinking, I'm boring. If you ever hang out with me, it's like, this guy's boring. Like, Jesus, I'm sorry, we're going to be bored again today. I'm not bored, but I mean, other people are. And I'm like, no, Jesus' greatest life, he's living his best life when he lives inside of me. And I sit and I study for hours. That's his best life. Or I move cow manure for 6 hours. That's his best life. You know his best life? His best life is when he lives life with you. When you're saying yes to him and you're living, he's living inside of you. That's his best life. When you're creating things, when you're fixing things, when you're relating to people, his best life, his whole dream, the whole reason he created this world was to live inside of you and to be one with your flesh. Yeah, but have you looked at my flesh? Yeah, mine's not so good either, but he loves it. I'm going to let him have it. You see, it's a lifetime of that journey. And so I see Jesus doing that. His entire life was about the harvest. Now, the result he wanted to be one with us created the path that he walked. Does that make sense? He's inviting us to a party. He's inviting you to an outcome. He's inviting you to a celebration. But there's a path you take to meet that celebration. There's a path. It's like, you mean I have to follow this path? Yeah, remember Jesus said over and over again, follow me. Follow me was an invitation to a party. Follow me and you'll have life. That's what Jesus said. Follow me and you'll have life, guys. Follow me and you'll have abundant life. Follow me and rivers of living water will burst out from within inside of you. You'll be a party waiting to happen 24/7. That's what Jesus said. You see, and it all depends. And you know, don't settle for just enough. If you're not experiencing a party all the time, don't settle for that. If you are following him, you are going to experience a party. Now, following him isn't easy. It's like I just found out my nephew is in the top 25th percentile in the world of those people that go to CrossFit and do that exercise stuff. You know, Harvey does it. You know, he does that stuff. You know what CrossFit is? It's some kind of weird exercise where you work out really hard. It's aerobic and all this other stuff. And Brian is in the top 25% of the entire world in those CrossFit competition things. I'm like, you know why I'll never be there? I'm not going to follow the path to get there. He works out a lot. And he breathes hard and he sweats and he watches what he eats. It's exhausting just thinking about it. You know what? God has a destiny for us that's a party. It's a wonderful thing. But there's a path we need to follow. And the path you follow will determine the outcome of your life. You see, we're not victims. We're not in bondage to our circumstances. We actually choose our paths. I mean, it's true. Because here's what Jesus says. In Christ, do you know this is true? I don't know why we're not all experiencing this, because we're not. But I know it's true. Look what he says in Colossians 2:9. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. You see, Jesus, it wasn't just the Holy Spirit in Jesus. It was Holy Spirit, God the Father, and him. The entire Godhead, the triune Godhead, lived inside of that man's flesh. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Can you imagine that? That the same fullness that Jesus lived in, we have inside of us? Now, I think we're going to talk about this some next week, but what we don't understand is Jesus was born a baby, right? They didn't even have Pampers back in those days. It was probably, I don't know how they did it, but it wasn't pleasant. He didn't know how to walk. He didn't know how to feed himself. He didn't know how to take care of himself. He didn't know how to do anything. He was born a helpless child, and he went through a journey to become the man who eventually rose from the dead. 33 years. You see, it was in him the whole time. The fullness of God was in Jesus from conception. But he had to walk a path.
And that path brought him to the place where he would experience the resurrection and life, eternal life, showed up in the earth that day. Guys, you know God is planning that same thing for each one of us. And we determine whether or not we develop and grow to that place. And next week, I want to talk about that. How do we grow? You know, when he said, follow me, and you said yes to him, that was an invitation to the party. But then there was going to be a journey because we still follow him. So I love this. I stole this from somebody I saw. I thought it was a great saying. Can y'all read that? Okay. Yeah, it's a little fuzzy, but I think you can read it. Here's the truth. Today can be your day. Today. You see, you know why this is true? Because all you have to do is say yes. Girl, you are about to walk into one of the best chapters of your life. Get ready. Well, you don't have to work out. You just have to say yes. Jesus has been wooing you. He loves you. He's been singing a love song ever since he shed his blood on that cross, asking us to say yes. So today you can begin this journey. It's not, and you know, I think sometimes in Christianity we make the end look like the beginning of the journey, the end of the journey. No, the first yes is just the first yes. Now you're going to have 1,000 more yeses to come. And every yes will get you one step higher to glory. It doesn't just have to be when you go to heaven. It could be on earth today. God wants your yes. He's inviting you to a party. It's like the prom 2.0 going on, and he's inviting you to the prom. And if you say yes, he'll give you a flower, corsage. Is that how you say that, Marion? Okay, corsage. That's a hard word. He'll give you a flower if you say yes, because he loves you, and he's already bought the flower. He's already paid the price. So this morning, I just want you to say yes. I know we did this last week, and one of my friends has sent me text every day this week telling me another place where I need to be saying yes. I'm like, great, that's a great reminder, you know. Are you saying yes to him? That's all that matters. If you say yes, he takes over, and he'll change your life. He wants you. He really does. So Easter, the cross was part of the journey, part of the path Jesus followed. And it'll be part of our path because we died with him and we rose with him on his cross. But you and I, we have a path too. And tomorrow, next week, I want to talk about what that path looks like. How do we navigate it well? Because I want to live my best life. I want to fulfill my destiny. I want to fulfill my purpose in God. And you do too. Let's go to the party together, right? So let's all stand up. I appreciate you guys. I believe when you say yes today, again, you're walking into one of the best chapters of your life. I really believe that. It's a good, good word, right? So, Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for worship. And, God, everyone who just gave their hearts and their love to Patrick and to Lexi this morning, to Oscar. God, I ask that every seed Patrick planted in our lives would bring him a harvest. God, we just bless him. We bless everything about it, what's happening on this trip in his life, God, in his journey. God, I thank you for everyone here this morning that's experienced your presence. That God, I thank you for the smile that people brought to Patrick's face that came to see him this morning. I just thank you that you care about people, God. So, Jesus, we all want to say yes to you today. So let the Holy Spirit, let God speak to you right now. What would your next step be if you say yes to Him today? We have a communion set up over in this corner right here. It's where you can take the Lord's Supper. And we'll also have people up here that would love to pray with you this morning. If your next step, we would love to help you in that any way that we could. So if you would, you can make your way up here when we're dismissed and talk to these guys, and they'll pray with you and they'll help you take that next step in your journey with Jesus, okay? So thank you for being here. Don't forget Easter. We're all giving, and if you do know how to cut down trees or something, talk to, let Rick Halter know, and he'll get your name and phone number, and we'll try to get this place cleaned up and looking good for the party we're having on Easter, okay? All right, God bless you guys. Thank you for coming.